Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Power Is Now online radio. My name is Eric Lawrence Frazier. Thank you for joining us today and online and on the telephone. It's a beautiful day in Southern California, and it's a great day to talk to Chris Sorensen, founder and director of HELP, Homeownership Education Learning Program. Folks, this is going to be a great show. Get all of your questions asked and answered about the Homeowner Bill of Rights, AB 278. I'm excited about this interview and the great things we're going to learn from Chris Sorensen. He has a wealth of information. I'm going to share a little bit about his background in just a few minutes. Today, the show is being sponsored by Prime Lending, a Plains Capital company. Folks, I am the production manager for Prime Lending, and I want to encourage you to work with me. Please contact me by telephone at 1-800-261-1634, extension 703, or by email at eric.frazier@primelending.com. If you need a pre-approval or to consult with me about a transaction, please call or email me and put my 31 years of experience to work for you. Well, folks, if you haven't heard about the Prime Lending team, you will soon, because we are everywhere, a nationwide bank. Go to primelending.com and locate a mortgage consultant in your area and tell them The Power Is Now sent you. Thank you. We're just a few minutes away from starting this interview. Please tell your friends that they want to know more about the Homeowner Bill of Rights. They should join The Power Is Now online or by telephone right now. For those of you who are new to The Power Is Now online radio, the name and slogan, The Power Is Now, suggests that we maximize our potential for success in business and life when we act on information and opportunities now. The present is our future because the future is only a reflection of our past decisions to act now. And so what that means is that we are at our best and we maximize our success when we act now. That's our slogan, our theme of The Power Is Now online radio. The Power Is Now online radio is also an online radio network from which a series of teleconferences are created to empower, inspire, educate consumers and real estate professionals about changes in the world of real estate, banking, finance, marketing, economics, government, and anything else that can give real estate professionals and consumers the tools they need to be successful. For questions or comments about The Power Is Now, please email eric.frazier@thepowerisnow.com or contact me at 1-800-401-8994, extension 703. And if you're listening to the show for the first time, please go to our website, thepowerisnow.com, and become a member of the Power Is Now community for free. On the Power Is Now network and also on Blog Talk Radio, you can listen to past shows and take advantage of special discounts to other services that can help you grow your business. There is value in membership, and membership is free. Being a member also adds you to our database for communication and notification of upcoming speakers. Okay, so this is the final call for listeners. We are about ready to begin our conversation with Chris Sorensen. In just a few minutes, we're going to take a music break here and give you an opportunity to reach out to your friends and to fellow associates in the business and ask them to get involved here on this teleconference. Ask them to ask questions about the Homeownership Bill of Rights and to just learn more about what's going on in real estate and the law, especially here in California. So we appreciate you joining us today. Please reach out to your friends and fellow agents in the office. Let them know that Power Is Now is live on the radio right now here on the Power Is Now. We'll be right back. Everybody, this is Eric Frazier with The Power Is Now, and on the phone with me is Patrick Howe, Executive Director and Co-Founder of American Prosperity and Jobs Symposium, based in San Diego, California. Thank you, Patrick, for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Eric, for having us on The Power Is Now.
Not a problem, Patrick. I want to learn more about American Prosperity and Jobs Symposium, because I know you have an event coming up very soon here at the Pacific Club in Newport Beach. So tell us about the organization, American Prosperity and Jobs.
Well, American Prosperity and Jobs, the symposium, grew out of the San Diego Investment Conference, which has been doing a series of investment conferences around the country for over 2 years. We've actually done 24 events in 2 years, and we've created funding opportunities of approximately $100-110 million for over 200 companies that were looking for funding inside of the capital markets. But we really decided with the passage of the Jobs Act in June that the opportunity was in education and in galvanizing the capital markets and the financial communities for market renewal, and most critically important, for education. With education, we'll have the tools in hand to be able to move past this highly regulatory, what's been a very difficult environment for the past 3 years since Dodd-Frank was passed. To be able to really, you know, do profitable business. And so we really thought that the opportunity was in changing our business model, which was, you know, historically, you know, since 2010, an investment conference, to focus on, more importantly, the Jobs Act that was passed with bipartisan support of both the Democrats and the Republicans. As a matter of fact, we saw in June of this year, President Obama in the Rose Garden with House Minority Leader Eric Cantor behind him signing that historic legislation. And the reason why that's so significant is it represents a sea change in attitude from the Dodd-Frank regulatory environment to the Jobs Act. Now, we've been involved in a very divisive presidential campaign for the better part of, the past 2 years, you know, last year or so. And really, you know, American Prosperity and Jobs is taking place exactly 2 weeks following the presidential elections, and the idea is to really galvanize this community of financiers, brokers, businessmen, to do business that makes sense, that really capitalizes on leadership working together, irregardless of political affiliation, and doing great business inside of the private sector.
Well, it sounds exciting, Patrick. How does this relate to real estate professionals? Why should they attend this event?
Well, there'll be a number. As a matter of fact, one of our key sponsors is Thompson National Properties, which is a $3 billion REIT, real estate investment trust, which is headed off by Tony Thompson of Thompson National Properties. They have a $3 billion REIT with about 30,000 investors inside of there. They've been doing transactions across the country throughout the course of this great recession, building commercial real estate property, looking, you know, revising and revamping commercial real estate properties in Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, throughout the country. They've done really well in Milwaukee, Chicago. And one of the panelists and one of the key sponsors of our events is Thompson National Properties. We also have a number of hedge funds. We've reached out to JMI Equity. We're speaking with PIMCO. We're speaking with BlackRock out of New York City. And we expect that we'll have participation of a number of leading banks, both in Orange County and from around the country. As a matter of fact, OTC, which is a bulletin board trading company for, you know, stocks and also REITs that are trading, will be sponsoring the event as well. We found out about that on Friday. So, you know, really what it is it's a gathering, it's a symposium that's taking place in four panels. Those panels are focusing on the Jobs Act, they're focusing on Dodd-Frank, they're focusing on crowdfunding, and they're focusing on technology, and it's a national opportunity. It's a national event and an opportunity for anybody that's involved inside the business sector to come together with leaders throughout Orange County. Cove Financial, which is also another real estate company, will be in attendance at the event. There'll be a number of different brokers that have been attending our national conference series for the better part of this year. We'll also be in attendance at the event, and we'll be coming together as a community to do great business inside of 2013.
Well, Patrick, it sounds like a great opportunity to learn and to network with some very powerful and successful people. Folks, the power is now. We'll be present at that event. In fact, we'll be conducting live interviews with some of these important people and learning more about them and how perhaps they can work with real estate professionals in Orange County and throughout the nation. Patrick, tell us about the event, the particulars here. It's going to be November 19th at the Pacific Club, right?
Yeah, it'll be November 19th at the Pacific Club, and the Honorable Charles Christopher Cox, former Securities Exchange Commission Chair during the George W. Bush, will deliver a keynote address focusing on the American economy front and center on the global stage, and he will also be participating on the panel for the 2012 Jobs Act. So we have reached out to a number of leadership throughout Southern California, including Congresswoman Karen Bass, and Mayor Miguel Pulido from Santa Ana will be participating on the panel. This is a California-centric, nationally exposed event, which will be galvanizing the financial community to come together and work together in 2013 and really aggressively move the country and the American and California economies forward.
November 19th, Pacific Club, Newport Beach. It's going to be from 10 in the morning till 5 p.m., so this is a full day of activities for the American Prosperity and Jobs Symposium. Provide the web address and telephone number, if any, for people to get more information.
Absolutely, Eric. The web address is sandiegoinvestmentconference.com. There is a red attendee registration button there. Hit that button and you'll pull up all the information on the event itself. And I'm sorry, what else did you ask me?
The telephone number.
The telephone number, 949-813-1756. 949-813-1756.
And then lastly, how much does it cost to attend the event?
It will cost, right now early registration is going on until the 10th of November, and that early registration price is $50. Registration at the door will cost $75. And we're looking forward to having a full house as well as national exposure via The Power Is Now and other media partners that we've partnered with.
Well, fantastic. That sounds like a great deal for some great networking and great information. So thank you so much, Patrick, for joining us and sharing this event with The Power Is Now audience, the American Prosperity and Jobs Symposium, November 19th, Pacific Club, Newport Beach, 10 to 5 p.m., $50 right now until about the 10th, as you say, of November, and then $75 at the door. Is that about right, Patrick?
That's absolutely right, Eric. Thank you for having us on the show. Thank you for being a media sponsor, agreeing to sign on as a media sponsor with this significant event. And also, we do have sponsorship slots available, and we would love to talk to anybody about that. Feel free to not only call me, but also email me. My email address is P as in Patrick Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L, at sandiegoinvestmentconference.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Patrick. Well, there you have it, folks. Another great opportunity to grow, to learn, to make new contacts and relationships right here in The Power Is Now. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Okay, we're back. For those of you who are joining us for the first time or just joining us, on the line with us is Chris Sorensen from HELP, and we're going to be talking about the Homeownership Bill of Rights, the Homeowner Bill of Rights. And I'm really excited about this topic. It's effective January 1st, 2013, and Chris is just going to break it down. And folks, I don't know anybody more qualified than Chris Sorensen to talk to us about it. And so here are some of the discussion points. First, he's going to deal with the most current national data here in California regard to housing and mortgages. Then we're going to dive into the Homeownership Bill of Rights, AB 278. And then we're going to talk about foreclosure alternatives, short sell, lease back. That's a very hot topic right now. And whether or not this is the time to buy. Some great talking points that Chris and I are going to go over. And before we get started with Chris, I'm going to read a little bit about his background. Chris Sorensen is a 23-year real estate and mortgage banking principal and expert. As a foreclosure prevention and loss mitigation specialist, he has worked with numerous banks and lenders over the years in order to mitigate loss to both the institution as well as the homeowner. As an expert witness, Chris has been able to assist in the determination of fraud versus negligence and teaches district attorney staff and others on current scams against the public. As a professional trainer, Chris has trained thousands of professionals on the responsibility of ethics and knowledge in a manner that both inspires and motivates. He has been heavily involved in his community throughout his career and enjoyed serving as a councilman and mayor of the city of Norco, California. He proudly serves on the foundation board for the Corona Regional Medical Center, donating and helping to raise funds for a local hospital. He was an active member of the Western Regional Council of Government, as well as the California League of Cities. He is currently the founder and executive director of the nonprofit Homeownership Education Learning Program, or HELP. And in 2008, recognizing the overwhelming need for consumer education, Chris partnered with the County of Riverside in Southern California and other local governments in the creation of the Homeownership Education Learning Program, or HELP. As a founder and executive director, he is teaching thousands of homeowners and homebuyers about their rights as well as responsibility of homeownership under grants from county, city, and state public agencies, as well as working and supported by HUD and the IRS. Most recently, Chris has received the honor of being asked to author and present a program for the California Department of Real Estate through the California Community College's Real Estate Education Center, Financial Sense to White Picket Fence, Budgeting, Borrowing, Buying, and Beyond. Folks, it's a great book. This program emphasizes how to obtain as well as retain a home in an effort to stabilize our communities for our future generations, and will be made available for all 113 community colleges throughout the state of California. And folks, I tell you, that's a tremendous accomplishment. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today on The Power Is Now.
Well, Eric, thank you so much. I have to tell you, I'm going to put it in my will that upon my demise, I'm going to be asking you to do my eulogy. You
well,
did a great job there.
Not...
Almost, heck, I got teary-eyed. That was a great introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, and I hope I don't have to meet that call anytime soon, Chris. You have a lot of work to do. You have a lot of work to do. Well, thank you for being on the show and being so involved, Chris, in helping people. I think what you've done here with establishing the HELP organization, your partnership with the state of California and the Department of Real Estate, that you are really truly a consumer advocate. And people everywhere ought to know who you are. I'm very proud that you are on the show and that this is the second time you've been on the show. And I tell you, HELP is a partner of The Power Is Now. Folks, we fully support and endorse the HELP organization and all they're doing in regard to education and certification of loan officers. And Chris, in fact, I want you to talk about the HELP organization, how that actually came to be, before we get into our main talking points. And, of course, another question I want to ask you as well in regard to The Power Is Now.
You bet. This was the genesis, if you will, of when the economic crisis, the mortgage meltdown as it has become known, occurred. I sat back, and with all of my experience, I'm in my 25th year now of in this business, and I sat back and I looked at what was occurring on a macro level and realized that many of the discussion points at Riverside County, San Bernardino County, which are two of the main epicenters, if you will, of the mortgage meltdown, were not grasping the gravity of what was going on, in my humble opinion. And so I reached out to some of my relationships and I said, look, at no expense to the county, but with your stamp of imprimatur, your endorsement, we need to create a nonprofit program that was strictly for the benefit of educating your employees and your constituents. And due to the relationships and due to knowing some of these people for 15 years plus, they knew me to be somebody who was sincere in my intent, and they decided to get behind it, and we started educating anywhere from 300 to 500 people at a time in our meetings, helping people understand what they needed to do in order to navigate through their own personal financial crisis. And then, of course, that led to other people saying, well, if I am in a position to buy, how may I buy or take advantage of this historic market? And so, of course, on a happier note, that was something that we also focused on, not only in Riverside and San Mateo County, but also through the state, through our former commissioner here in California, Mr. Jeff Davi. He had a vision to create a financial literacy program that taught people how to buy the right way within their means and then learn how to, as I say, retain what they obtain and the benefits of getting rich slowly through real estate as opposed to trying to get rich quick, which far too many tried and unfortunately failed in 2007 and beyond. And so,
well, that's a great summary. Continue.
Yeah, that's kind of how we got started, and that's what we've been doing ever since.
So how can people get a hold of HELP, the organization, particularly agents, and participate in this? You have a certification program as well as for agents as well as an education program for buyers, people that, who are distressed buyers and people who want to buy, who are in position to buy.
You know, it's funny, Eric. Well, first off, the answer is I have an email address. It's our website with info at in front of it. So it's info at freehomeownershiphelp.org. Again, info at freehomeownershiphelp.org. But truly, we are a nonprofit that is not profitable. We didn't set out, and I don't mean to sound overly cynical, but when I started this nonprofit, it was my first foray into the nonprofit arena. And I was naive, Eric. I was wet behind the ears when it came to this particular area, and I thought we were all going to sit around a campfire and sing kumbaya as we serve the public. I discovered, much to my chagrin, that the nonprofit world is extremely competitive because, and I understand it now, they have to turn a profit or they cease to exist. And so much of the work that I do is more just a straight passion, and I look towards people like yourself truly to help organize meetings, and then I can come in and do my educational aspect, and I partner up with other professionals who can see the value of this and potentially help revenue share in creating opportunities for agents to get the education they need as well as the motivation and understanding what type of verbiage needs to be communicated effectively so homeowners do come from out of the fear that's, you know, stalling them right now and come forward to begin the healing process sooner rather than later. And so, yes, they can email me, but quite frankly, based on my respect for you, I just assume they reach out to me vis-a-vis through you.
Fantastic. Well, folks, we're going to, in fact, on the show page, Chris's contact information and the logo for the company and his website is on the show page of thepowersnow.com. And definitely reach out to him. If you have a client that you're working with, Chris, one of the things you do, you work with buyers that need either the educational requirements or their first-time home buyers, they need that 8-hour class. You provide those kind of services as well, right?
I do. The book that I wrote is being used by several cities partnering up with HUD counseling agencies. There's 26 HUD-approved counseling agencies throughout the United States, and on my board of directors is an executive director of a nonprofit locally that is a HUD-approved counselor, as well as others, like I said, that have teamed up with the community college book that I wrote, as well as a local HUD counselor. So for professionals, we have two courses that are approved for 8 hours of continued education credits for the state of California, but it's just as easy for them to be able to take our information, and I can get them connected to the right HUD counselor local to them so they're supporting their local nonprofit.
Okay, fantastic. So folks, hang in there with us. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. This is Eric Frazier. I just want to take a minute to tell you about the great things that are happening on The Power Is Now. Did you know that The Power Is Now has programming that takes place every single day? That's right. Every single day, there's a show playing on The Power Is Now. And not just one show, but shows throughout the day. Every single day. There's an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. There's a 12 o'clock show, a 3 o'clock and a 5 o'clock show. We even have a 7 o'clock show every single day, folks. You can catch some great information right here on The Power Is Now. Just go to thepowerisnow.com and click under Live Show. You'll see whatever's playing at that time You'll hear it right there on the Pirates Now. Whatever is playing throughout the day will be on the live show. And if there's a particular show you want to listen to, just go to the past shows or to the PAR Agent Spotlight or the Real Estate Resource or the Pirates Now Breaking News. Folks, the Pirates Now is just jam-packed with great information for real estate professionals and consumers. And I want to encourage you to tune in every day and listen to all the shows. There are over 160 shows that have been recorded on the Pirates Now all about real estate, empowering real estate agents with information, empowering consumers with information, information that is relevant, information that is current, information that they can use. The power is now. Remember, we are at our best and we maximize our success when we act now. That's what the Power is Now is all about. And that's why we have this information playing every single day on the Power is Now radio. Please go to thepowerisnow.com and like on us. In fact, go to LinkedIn and connect with me, Eric Frazier, and the Power is Now. We're also on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We're all over the social media. And of course, on Facebook, you can even listen to our podcast on Facebook. Because we make sure that we notify those of you who are following us on Facebook every week with the upcoming shows. Well, that's it for now. We hope you'll continue to listen to The Power is Now and tell others about it. Thank you for listening today on The Power is Now. And we're back. Chris, one of the things we do on this show for all the guests that come on is we ask them, what does the phrase, the power is now, what does that mean to you as a lending professional, as a consumer advocate, as an expert on all things real estate? What does the phrase, the power is now, mean to you?
Well, I will tell you, the first thing that's at the top of mind, the first thing that comes to my mind is, in addition to being a professional, I'm a God-fearing American. And so the power is now truly defines who I am at my inner core. It defines for me the serve for success model. I am capable, and so therefore I know that my brother and sister in Christ are capable as well. And so the power is now is conveying that message in such a passionate way, with such conviction, that it inspires others to take action today so that others may follow their lead, follow their example, and choose to emulate them as opposed to being beat over the head with information. I want to see people like you who inspire me to take the powers now and go out there and share this information, because right now, Eric, we both know that somebody last night was sitting there at 2:00 in the morning with their face in their hands all alone, not knowing what they're going to do next month because they got their foreclosure notice and their family's going to be displaced. These people are stymied with fear, and the powers now means that these agents listening to this call can go out today, not tomorrow, but today, take the information and go serve for success.
Fantastic Powers Now statement, Chris. That's another one for the record book. I'm going to, and I keep saying this with just about every other broadcast, but I'm going to consolidate all these great Powers Now statements and put out a book, or maybe a series of audio tapes, the Powers Now statements, because it's been some pretty profound Powers Now statements being made by guests that have come on the show. And what you just resonates with me, and I'm sure with a lot of people, that there are people who are hurting right now. And those who have the knowledge and the information need not procrastinate, but act now and go out there and change a life. So thank you for that great Power is Now statement. And what a great segue to our subject, and that is the Homeowner Bill of Rights, because that's really about empowering homeowners, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this has been a long time coming. You know, like with any law, sometimes we have to roll our eyes and say, well, why do we need a law to get somebody not to lie? And that may be a dramatic statement and as an attention getter, but I do believe people need to understand from a macro level all the way down to a micro level in your neighborhood how we got here. And so if I may, just a little bit of background, when the economy collapsed, our housing market collapsed, which created a ripple effect, we discovered that our investment banks were leveraged on average 32-1. Now, for those that are not in the banking or investment banking world, I want to make this really easy for you, and this will circle back to housing and what you can do in your neighborhood. You have to understand just how large a problem we actually have in order to feel motivated to get out there and grab people by the lapels and say, you need to take action today. This isn't a matter of a choice. This is something you need to do right here, right now, for your future and for your family. When I have a dollar on deposit, the banking system allows me to lend out 10. And on average, it's been $10 for well over 100 years. But the short answer is, for every $1 that a bank had tangible in their hands, they were leveraged 32-1. Well, all it took was just a little bit of foreclosures as a percentage, and it financially collapsed not just our banks, but globally it collapsed banks. And that's what led to the massive bailout at the tail end of the last administration and the continued bailout during the current administration. And we're not done yet. We've lost 3.8 million homes to foreclosure. And right now, as of the most recent reports that come out, there's a few sources that anybody can gain access to that's listening to you right now, Eric. And that is LPS, Lender Processing Services. They have a monthly mortgage monitor report. Most recent one is September. You have Making Home Affordable summary report that comes out. The most recent one is August. Of course, you've got Realty Track and Data Track and Foreclosure Radar here on the West Coast. There's a lot of great free resources that you don't have to be an expert, understand how to read all the graphs. Just get some highlights and understand why you need to go out there and serve. Today, I said that there's 3.8 million people who have lost their home already. Right now, currently, we have 5,641,601 people, one homeowner, over 5.6 million homeowners right now that are 30 days or more delinquent on their mortgages. So while they're the same sense of urgency that we had in 2008 and 2009 when it was highly visible, you could see brown yards everywhere with the initial wave of the subprime crisis, make no mistake, the challenges are still there and we still have a long ways to go, and that's a lot of people that need the people that are on your calls assistance. In fact, I would say that in the history of the real estate enterprise, real estate professionals, real estate practitioners have never been needed more than they are right now. They need to be a beacon of light for the people that are struggling as well as those that are saying to themselves, should I or should I not buy in this market? So what happened is we changed the banking rules, which meant that the banks were no longer forced to get rid of their inventory. And I'm making this really simple for everybody. When you initially saw all the foreclosures in the brown yards in California and Florida and Texas, et cetera, and Arizona and Nevada, all of a sudden you've seen over the last couple of years that wane or slow down considerably. Well, that's because banks are now allowed to keep those negative assets or non-performing loans on their books without any penalty. That changed in October 2008 with the regulatory agencies. So what does that mean to your listeners? Well, it just means that this can now drag on for a long time and they can not take action on those 5.6 million people until they're ready to take action against them. And that readiness is defined as how many homes have they put on the market versus how many homes and months of inventory do they have, and what are the prices that they're getting for the current homes that are on the market so that they can continue to trickle out the inventory at such point in time that it's gone down to normal levels. In the meantime, it's a balancing act because we just had an uptick in delinquencies over the last couple of months. We're now at, on a national level, 7.4% delinquent status amongst all mortgages. And if you're taking notes or somebody's going to replay this, I should let everybody know that currently there are 50 million, just a tad over 50 million mortgages in the United States. About 1.6 million are 30 days delinquent. About 600,000 are 60 days delinquent. 1.5 million are 90 days delinquent. And just shy of 2 million are in foreclosure status right now for that total of 5.6 million homeowners. So those are dramatic numbers, especially when you go back and compare historically. When I say 7.4 delinquent, historically, what were we? Well, historically, we were right about 1%. So when you're talking about those larger numbers, going from 1 up to 7.4, that's pretty dramatic. But it is what it is. So we just have to work through this.
Chris, this is great information. You know, I'm thinking about the agent right there, you know, right now who's out there talking to homeowners who are delinquent, who are notice of defaults have been filed. They need this kind of information to come across as a professional with the knowledge to really educate the consumer as to why they need to sell, as opposed to just being a salesman out there asking them to sell your home. You know, you're in trouble, sell your home, and not being able to articulate, you know, some real data that's going to affect their neighborhood, their county, their state, it's going to affect them for years to come, and that they really need to act now. The tools you've just mentioned are accessible to everyone. The LPS monthly mortgage report, the Making Home Affordable Report, the Realty Track, the Data Track, Foreclosure Radar. There's a subscription fee, I believe, for most of these, but it is a great investment for a real estate agent to have. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, 100%. Or, you know, or they can get on the call with you and I, and they come to our meetings, and I give this data. You know, I'm a voracious reader, so of course I read this, digest it, and train on it, and I get a kick out of it. I enjoy it because for the same reason you do this call, my attitude is we have to pay it forward. And if I can inspire just one professional to get out there and just save one soul and help some family just be able to exhale, just take the pressure off,
right.
Then I feel
right.
like I'm using my God-given talents for what he designed me for.
Sure. You know, when this crisis started, Chris, everyone was out, every agent I know was trying to get an REO account with a bank or an asset management company, and we've seen that inventory dry up. I know many REO brokers who have maybe just a couple or none in their inventory to sell, but the numbers here show they shouldn't be, you know, putting their emphasis on trying to get that business, at least not all the time, when it's clear the market opportunity is to become an expert in short sales and what's happening with the delinquencies and how this can affect a home buyer, and really pursue the short sale opportunities.
Absolutely. And for anybody who's a broker out there, they would want to actually take my words, my following statement, and make sure that they're comfortable with Aaron and the Mission Insurance Company. But I would tell you this, there are many, you could Google this information, there are many companies out there that under the right given circumstances, real estate professionals can get their hands on people who are late on their mortgage, 30, 60, 90 days or more delinquent on their mortgage. And I'm not going to get into the legalities of it. That's for a broker, a sales person, and their counsel to determine what they cannot do. But on a moral basis, there is nothing wrong if somebody goes out with the right type of servant heart to reach out to those people who you already know, based on empirical evidence, are late on their mortgage and need to take action. And the faster we can get to them, the better off they're going to be. And so I would definitely have that part of my business model, depending on where my market is. You know, some markets, short sales and REOs are a very small percentage of their market. I mean, real estate is a hyper-local business. In Southern California, I mean, half of all foreclosure activity is made up in five states, Florida, California, Arizona, Nevada, Texas. So those markets should really need to be doing, in addition to doing the REOs, also be focusing their attention on the short sale client. You save a homeowner, Eric. You help somebody navigate through this process and make sure that they have some place to go, which is crucial. Show them a vision of hope. Show them a vision of what their future can look like out of this home that is a burden, an anchor around their neck, and show them that they can have peace in their heart and their family and move forward and buy in 3 short years using FHA financing if they'll follow the directional steps that we offer and what the professional can offer. That is huge.
Right. Absolutely right. You know, just in looking at the numbers, I mean, it's really staggering. 5.6 million homeowners, 30 days or later more. I think second only to this homeowner bill of rights, the regulatory change in October of 2008 allowing banks to keep these non-performing loans on their books until, from a selfish standpoint, until the market was right and they could maximize their return. But also from a consumer perspective, it does give them more time to try to work with consumers to come up with some type of solution. So I think that really was the first step to, you know, giving consumers more time to figure out how to resolve the issue. The Homeownership Bill of Rights is really, I'm wondering though, is it kind of too late because foreclosures have fallen off significantly? Is it too late in terms of the damage that's already been done? 3.8 million people forced out of their homes through some pretty unscrupulous actions by the banks, and there's a lot of challenges that we all know about.
Well, we do know about them, or we should know about them. I mean, look, let's be blunt. I mean, we've both been in the industry for our entire adult lives, and just like with any industry, there's going to be the good and the bad and the ugly, and there's been some very ugly things that took place, and all 50 state attorney generals got together and collectively negotiated with the top servicers. We won't name them, but the top servicers, and they agreed on become known as the Attorney General Settlement. Well, what was the crime? In the most simple way, the servicers or their representatives, attorneys and others, for no other way, I mean, you can't put it any other way, they lied to the courts. They presented documentation that was proven to be false and proven that they hired or caused to hire people that created the false documentation in the first place. So you go in there like a fool homeowner saying, but I was negotiating in good faith and I did everything they told me to do, and the court ruled against you because of documentation that was created. It was false. That's egregious. That's terrible. But it is what it is, and we moved forward. So today we have the Attorney General settlement, but one of the challenges we had in California, California being a mortgage trustee state, was that the term servicer was not listed, and so therefore servicers could lay claim to saying, well, we don't own the mortgage. We're not the beneficiary. We're not the mortgagee. We are simply servicing the loan, meaning we're collecting payments on the actual owner's benefit or for their benefit. So it says, don't hold us accountable. Well, the law, AB 278 and 200, which was signed by the governor in July of 2012, goes into effect January 1st of 2013, and it's good through 2018. It now adds servicer and a couple of, really, if all they get, those people on this call understand this. This is huge. Any type of foreclosure alternative, if the borrower has cooperated and provided and can document that they provided the documentation required, and we can talk about that if time permits, how they do that. But if they provide all the documentation through what's called their single point of contact at that servicer, must be made available. If they cooperated and they enter into an agreement for a foreclosure alternative program, whether it be a modification or a short sale, the servicer or any other entity cannot proceed with the foreclosure until they've determined whether it's a yes or a no. Further, and this is huge, one of the things that both our dear friend Linda Jackson and I have talked about numerous times, it's very frustrating when you're helping a homeowner and you negotiate with a lender for a modification or a short sale, and then right before everything's ready to close, they transfer the servicing of that loan to another entity. And that new entity says, well, that was them. We're us, and we're not honoring that agreement because now we're in charge of the servicing, and you have to start all over again. Or worse, they tell you, sorry, we don't cooperate in that particular program. Well, AB 278 says, not anymore. Once you enter an agreement, it transfers with the new servicer if the lender decides to transfer. That, I will tell you, will stop some of the shenanigans or the game playing and stop some of the transfers midway.
Right.
Through a process. So I think those two issues are crucial for homeowners, and that's why I couldn't understand why CAR, California Association of Realtors, was actually against it. They were concerned about the increased litigation, but I got to tell you, yes, there's going to be people out there, Eric, who will take advantage of the system, but if it helped your family or someone that you know and love avoid being taken advantage of by entities who have already proven capable, then I think it's worth it.
Chris, this is great information. Folks, we're going to take a break, just maybe about a 60 to 120 second break here, and give you an opportunity to reach out to some buddies you know who are in the business, who are doing short sales. They need to hear this information. Chris has already started with breaking down this new homeownership bill of rights. And Chris, when we come back, I want you to just take it from the top and lay out all the key provisions of this bill, because it's great news for the homeowner, and it's information that real estate agents should know and use right now when they're out there engaging homeowners about dealing with their circumstances and selling their property. So folks, hang in there with us. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Hello everybody, this is Eric Frazier. Please go to thepowerisnow.com website, and there you'll find all of the past shows. In fact, on the menu bar, you'll see radio, and you click on radio, you'll see live show. And in that section of the website, anything that's playing throughout the day will play under live show. If there's a particular show you're looking for that it's played some time ago, just go to past shows, and you'll be able to listen to all the past shows, and not quite all of them, but most of the past shows on The Power Is Now. Folks, we've done over 160 shows. Can you believe that? Since August 20th, 2009, The Power Is Now has been bringing great programming every single week. We have The Power Is Now Breaking News, in which we have experts in the field break down the headline news in real estate. We are the Power Is Now Real Estate Resource, where we bring experts in real estate to talk about opportunities in real estate, strategies for real estate professionals, information they can use to grow their business. And then we have the Power Is Now University, which is typically professors, economists, tax experts, anybody who can provide information that we can use in our household or in dealing with financial related challenges or just educating us to make better decisions. The Power Is Now University, it's a great tool for both real estate professionals and consumers. So we have the Power Is Now Breaking News, and we have the Power Is Now Real Estate Resource, and we have the Power Is Now University. Well, lastly, we have the Power Is Now Agent Spotlight. And I tell you, I really enjoy that program. It's because we bring on the very best in the business, top agents come on the show, and they're willing to share all of their secrets, their success, their story, and how they made it to the top. Folks, we have had some great Power Agent Spotlight programs that shows. I encourage you to listen to them right there on the Power Is Now. Thank you for tuning in today on the Power Is Now. Continue to listen and continue to tell others about the great things that are happening on the Power Is Now. Like on us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Active Ring. We're all over the social media because we're trying to keep you informed and let you know about great opportunities to learn right here on the Power Is Now and absolutely for free. Thank you for joining us today on the Power Is Now. And we're back. Thank you for holding out for us. We are running into some technical difficulties, but we're back, and we appreciate those of you who are joining the Power Is Now. We're having a great conversation with Chris Sorensen, absolute expert on all things concerning real estate and government. And this has really been just amazing, the numbers you've shared with us so far, Chris, and then some of the provisions that are in this new bill, the Homeowner Bill of Rights. And so let's take it from the top, Chris, and let's talk about what is this Homeowner Bill of Rights, AB 278?
Well, taking it from the top, I would just, again, in summary, it's a way of enforcing, further enforcement and clarification, amplification of the Attorney General settlement for the major servicers who were caught doing things that they were not supposed to be doing with respect to foreclosures throughout the United States. And so they didn't settle because they were good guys or trying to give away their stockholders' money. They settled because they were caught. And so Kamala Harris, California's Attorney General, always kind of look at California because 24% of all mortgage activity is in the state of California. And California is one of the five states where half of all foreclosure activity is taking place. And so this is a great bellwether. Now, what I'm sharing is occurring in California. Many provisions that are being amplified or clarified through AB 278 apply to all 50 states through the Attorney General settlement. Kamala Harris, along with some of our state assembly members and senators, as well as the governor, signed this bill into law July 11th, 2012, to go into effect January 1st, 2013, which is very normal and customary for laws, unless it's an urgency item. And so now, probably the simplest way to put this in a practical sense, what's been impacting the realtors who try to assist a client in a short sale or are trying to assist somebody in a modification, some of the pitfalls have been that when it comes to enforcing the rule of law, servicers have been able to say, we're not in a trustee state, we are not the beneficiary, we don't own the mortgage, is probably the perfect way to say it. We are simply collecting payments from a borrower on behalf of the owner of a mortgage, and so the law doesn't apply to us. Well, AB 278 changes that and now includes the term servicer in our codes, so it does apply. And any entity that forecloses over 175 units in a year, this law now applies to them. So virtually all the master servicers that people have to deal with on a regular basis. And what's crucial for the listeners to hear is when you've been out there working on a foreclosure alternative, which is a modification or a short sale, and they transferred the ownership of that loan to somebody else, another entity. Bank of America transferred it to, say, GreenTree or Ocwen. GreenTree or Ocwen, for example, could say, we don't participate in the program, or you're going to have to start over again. We're not going to honor the previous agreement. AB 278 says, yes, you will. Once there's an agreement, once there's been an acceptance and the borrower has met certain criteria, which the bill in its entirety, not only a summary, but its entirety is on my nonprofit website for all to read in a very simple format. Once the borrower has met certain criteria of documenting that, yes, I have provided the information they've asked for, and they've said, yes, we are now considering you for modification, the foreclosure process stops even if they transfer the loan to another servicer. That is huge for the homeowner, and it is great for the realtor who's busted their tail helping somebody to navigate through this complicated, convoluted process. And why is this so essential? If you look at the modifications by comparison to the need versus how many people have received a modification, all we've talked about since March of 2009 is how many homeowners have gone through modification. Eric, the total number from March of 2009 to October 2012 is 896,000 people are in a permanent active modification. That's not very many when you consider that 3.8 million people have lost their home to foreclosure and there's 5.6 million people that need help. The point is that modifications sound great, but and for some people, it's a great program. But I always want to make sure that people go into it with their eyes wide open and looking at this from a long-term perspective so they know that they can afford the loan even when the payment adjusts, because many modifications have an adjustment to the rate somewhere between the third and the fifth year. And if the rate goes up, which causes their payment to go up, and their income does not go up commensurate with that payment increase, if all they're doing is postponing the inevitable based on an emotional decision versus what's rational and what's in their long-term best interest, my job as a nonprofit educator is to make sure they're aware of that. They're looking at this towards their retirement. And if all they're going to do is lose a home on the fifth, sixth, or seventh year, it's better for them to lose it today with a professional realtor, helping them right. bow out gracefully, and then buy in 3 to 4 short years while the market is still this low with artificially low interest rates.
You know, Chris, you make a very interesting point in that the very circumstances that got them into this situation, if they were on a, say, an adjustable rate product and their payment became unaffordable, a subprime adjustable, 2-year fixed, that kind of thing, the bank modifies the mortgage and puts them back in that same situation. When the rate adjusts, they're back. It makes absolutely no sense. And then add to that, there's no principal reduction. So I'm looking at this 896,000 modifications. When you take out of those, when you take the potential, the possibility, the percentage of people going back into default because of these unreasonable terms, you know, modifying a mortgage at the original amount without any principal reduction and providing some type of adjustable rate feature, chances are probably greater than 50% of those will probably go back into default. So what really is the net result of all the modification efforts that have taken place?
Well, excellent point. I mean, I could go on. I have a whole, gosh, all the graphs I have in front of me, I could talk about this for the next 2 hours. And I do want to clarify one thing. In fairness, there are principal reductions occurring. And here is probably the hardest thing for a real estate practitioner or even a homeowner to be able to grasp. There is very little rhyme or reason that a homeowner or a professional agent is ever going to be able to understand why one neighbor, you know, if you have 10 homes on a cul-de-sac, all of them are making their payments to Bank of America, they could have 10 separate investors with 10 set of rules governing what can or can't be done. And so every single neighbor may have a completely different outcome. One neighbor may get, I mean, the average amount of the median amount of a full extinguishment of principal reduction, when they do occur, which again is less than 10%, is $62,000. On a second, it's $9,000. Those are good numbers. And if you hear about that, it's like, why do people play the lotto when you've got a better chance of being hit by lightning? Well, because they always play up the person who won. And so there's that chance, if I just hang on and ignore logic, I might get a $60,000 principal reduction. But what they don't understand is you haven't remedied your baseline or your core problems, and you can't really afford this long term. And Eric,
right.
let me just give one other number. The numbers prove that, because when you look at the reports, you know ratios. Ratios for your real estate listeners are you have front end, back end. Front end is
right.
historically about 30%, back end about 42, 43. The average
right.
back end ratio, which means statistically speaking, they can't afford the mortgage, the average back-in ratio after somebody gets help is 53%. That's after they receive their principal reduction and their lower payment, and that payment is going to go up beginning on the fifth year in most modification cases.
Well, that's amazing. 53% in addition to, and that's with the current reduced payment, it'll be probably another 10, maybe 20% higher if they're able to afford the payment with the adjustment. You know, the modifications with principal reductions, they weren't taking place in 2009, 2010. Didn't they just start taking place around 2011 and 12?
Correct. That has everything to do with the Attorney General settlement.
Yes.
And I could, and it's funny. I mean, being a cynic, and because I read this information, they're using the bailout money they received to give the principal reduction. So it's the taxpayers actually giving the principal reductions. But yes, there are principal reductions taking place with the Attorney General settlement, and they're getting credit for $2 for every one that they reduce. So will a struggling homeowner get one? I don't know. What's the percentage? Roughly about about 10 out of 100 loans are getting a principal reduction today. So there's a 90% chance you won't get one. And so you need to make your decisions based on empirical evidence as opposed to pie in the sky or just strictly an emotion. We can say that on this call. Homeowners need to hear this information in a much more caring and feeling and manner.
Right. Well, the servicer loophole was gone. The single point of contact, I thought that was a big win for consumers, because just in being involved with modifications with different agents and people, it's always changing. The file is always moving. And so I think that's another win for the consumer on the Homeownership Bill of Rights. Wouldn't you agree?
Tremendously. It's huge for them to have somebody that they can go to and talk to, and these people are handling much fewer clients, if you will, or homeowners. I will also say that one thing that I've learned since 2009 when this program all came out, the squeaky wheel gets greased, and whenever you go to a HUD-approved counselor, it's okay to interview them and make sure that they've got experience. They should know some of this information. They should know how to calculate income accurately. I would tell you, talking to the servicers, according to their numbers, 90% of the time that they have problems, it's because the application for modification is incomplete. And Eric, you being a professional banker for 31 years, you know the amount of expertise it takes to be able to determine somebody's income and expenses accurately so an underwriter can make an educated decision. Well, imagine somebody who doesn't have any or very little experience being asked to present the exact same thing without your expertise. How successful are they going to be? Not very.
Right. That's so true. Well, folks, this has been an incredible interview today, and Chris has got more to share with us, but I want to give callers an opportunity to ask you questions, Chris, about this Homeownership Bill of Rights and anything else in regard to short sales, what have you. We have a VIP caller. You know, folks, to be a VIP co-host on The Power Is Now, it's my invitation only, but you can contact me if you're interested in co-hosting with me on the show and meeting the guests before the show and being the first to ask questions. Just give us a call. You can contact me or Deidre Davey, who's a relationship manager of The Power Is Now, and we'll be more than happy to accommodate you. So if you have a question about what we've talked about so far, just press 1 on your phone, and then Deidre will come on the line, get your name and telephone number, your name and the company you work for, and the state you're calling from. We want to know your company you work for, the state you're calling from, and then give you an opportunity to ask Chris a question. And so we're going to bring on Howard Baker. And Howard, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Thank you for joining us today, Howard, as a VIP co-host. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and then go into the question for Chris.
Okay, thank you. Yes, my name is Howard Baker. I'm the broker at Amara Mortgage and Realty. I'm located in Tracy, California, in San Joaquin County, Northern California. Been in the real estate industry for a little over 10 years. I'm affiliated with a couple of the local, one of them is the Central Valley Realtors Association. I'm a board member on that in that group, which is the local chapter of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. Yeah, involved in several other organizations within the community. Now, first, would like to tell Chris, thank you. The information has been extremely useful, and I do have a few questions. My first question, and it had to do with, what I've written down here has to do with the responsiveness of the banks. And I'm just curious on maybe strategies on what resources are available maybe to escalate within either banks when you're working with a short sale or when you're working with when you have clients working with modifications, or what are outside agencies that can help or assist in getting having action, having something done. Because I know a lot of times it just seems like they're...
They just drag on and on and on. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, okay. So first off, understand that the banks are, in fact, overwhelmed. You heard the numbers that I gave, and the banks still have not geared up with enough educated employees that understand even 10% of what it has shared, nor do they even understand the laws that the Treasury Department has put out there that require them to do certain things. And so oftentimes they are going off with just less than half the information that they need. It's also very critical to get everybody on this call to understand. I'm going to answer this question not just for you, Mr. Baker, but also for others that may hear this down the road. People forget that the bank that they're calling has a fiduciary responsibility not to the agent, not to the borrower, but to the investor that owns the mortgage. And many of them receive bonuses based on percentages collection. And so the longer they can keep somebody in a home making payments, even if it's on a reduced amount, or the more money they can get from an agent to cough up part of their commission, the better off they're going to be. And I will tell you, one of the running jokes in the servicing world is you ask an agent for money, and 80% of the time they'll give it up within the first couple of conversations. And so they're trained to go after your commission, even though under HAFA guidelines, they're not supposed to. So that's something to keep in mind right out the gate. One of the things that I have found that has been helpful is obviously when somebody has a complete, I mean a rock solid complete application for either a modification or a short sale. But let's talk about short sales because most of the people on this call are in fact real estate professionals. A modification, I would always work with a HUD approved counselor that you had an opportunity to sit down with in your community, meet and vet and confer with. But on a short sale, what I'm finding that is most beneficial is in your submission documenting what is wrong with the property and what the loss could potentially be if they go ahead and foreclose. Bear in mind, they've already had a BPO, a broker price opinion, already done. They already have a number based on their metrics, based on their algorithms of what they need to get to be able to say yes. And depending on where they are, will dictate what level of management, what sign of authority the people have. The level one or two employees that most real estate professionals are dealing with are just that. They're level one or two. They're paper gatherers. They then send that information, that complete request, to a retained asset manager who has a certain level of assigning authority. And then it must go up from there. And if they sign off on something that they're not supposed to, they're going to be sitting there with their AVP in a month every interview and have to answer. One thing I will tell you, and this is going to upset some of the servicers if anybody's on the call, one thing I will tell you, if you can document that an employee of theirs is not acting in the best interest of the investor based on a net present value, and that if that doesn't mean anything to you, I would Google what net present value is and understand the definition of what it means to a servicer and investor relationship. But if you can document that it's in the best interest of all parties for the short sale to go through, then escalate. And one way I've taught agents to escalate is you find out from Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, Ocwen, Green Tea, whoever it is, find out by going on the internet. And it's not that difficult if you play around. I use WikiLeaks and other services, and you can find the top executives. And then when you go to the top executives, you're going to get to a department, or you're going to get to an assistant to that person who's then going to go back down and make sure that your deal is brought to the front of the line, especially if you're professional, especially if you don't point the finger, and especially if you're saying, I'm reaching out to you because I know that you have a fiduciary responsibility to your investor, and I'm trying to make sure that you and the investor receive more money in this particular transaction than what your employee is trying to get. That's an attention getter, and that may sound small, but I assure you, every time I've told somebody to do that and they've done it in the right way, they've come back and thanked me profusely. One other little trick of the trade, by the way, Mr. Baker, I just want to say for the listeners, one thing that I used to do as an REO agent, I would always compliment the person who I'm talking to, even if I'm not getting from them what I want. Again, it may sound trivial, but it worked for me, is I would say, you know what, I got to tell you, you represent Wells Fargo extremely well, and I got to know that you're getting beat up every day, all day, a lot of times from agents who are not professional. I would love to be able to tell your manager what a great job you're doing, and just maybe shoot them a quick email. If you've got somebody that you'd like me to let them know just what a true pro you are, I'd be honored to do that. And I would tell you half the time they will give up their manager's email. You do follow up with a complimentary email, but now you've got exactly who you need to go to when escalation is required.
Wow, Chris, that is slick. That is great. That is great. You can draw more flies with honey than you can with vinegar, right? And that is, you know, kill them with kindness and compliments and ask for an opportunity to give them some recognition. And, you know, working in any bank, trust me, I know this, we thrive on the recognition from our superiors, our bosses. It means job security. So what a great idea, a great strategy to get the next level of management. Howard, what is your next question for Chris?
Okay, actually, by the way, that was a great response. Next one really isn't a question, but I just wanted to give some feedback on the segment where you were talking about being a, you know, pay it forward and having a servant heart and, you know, helping to show the vision of hope. One of the things I personally do to when I'm working with clients is talk to them about just their being in balance, as an example. And a lot of times, you know, the mortgages that they currently have put them out of balance financially, and there's no room in there where they're doing savings or retirement or health care or being able to, you know, save up or pay for education for their family. And they lose track of that. So I always try to bring that perspective back that, you know, it's not just about having a house, but it's about the lifestyle. And it needs to be balanced. And it needs to be more than, you know, what's going to happen next year, but you need to look long term. So I just wanted to provide that feedback. And I thought that was a great segment piece that you talked about as well.
Well, that is a great point. We all need balance in our lives. And I think from 2003 to about 2006 or 7, we got completely out of balance. We actually lost our mind. Right, Chris?
In my own humble opinion, and as I like to say, I think God pruned us all because he wanted us to turn away from the world and towards him, and he's done a pretty good job.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I have a question via chat, and says to repeat the number of late homeowners. So let's share again that information in the beginning of the show, Chris, about the number of late, and also, again, where they can get that data so that they can share it with their potential clients.
You bet. Lender Processing Services, and this would lead to something else, some great information, Eric, for your real estate professionals. Many of them in a trustee state have to understand that and we'll use Bank of America since they're the largest, Bank of America will not foreclose on a homeowner. They have a trustee company foreclose on the homeowner. In Southern California, they use Recon Trust, a company they acquired through the Countrywide acquisition. And so they will communicate to Lender Processing Services in Florida, who will then upload that information, and the trustee company, Recon Trust, will then see this information and start the process. That's crucial because sometimes when people have laid claim, well, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing because Bank of America is foreclosing even though they've approved me for a short sale. Oftentimes I need to guide them back to Lender Processing Services, which handles about 70% of all the mortgages in the United States. They're covering right now 50,044,415 mortgages in the United States currently. And to answer your question, 30-day mortgage lates, there's 1,590,658 people who are currently 30 days or more delinquent. There are 578,216 who are 60 days delinquent. There's 1,533,569 who are 90 days delinquent, and there's 1,939,159 who are in foreclosure currently, for a total of 5,641,601. Betsy Duke, there's 12 Federal Reserve banks throughout the entire United States. Ben Bernanke is the chairman. Many of us know Ben Bernanke. Betsy Duke is our president based up in San Francisco. And she reported to us that once a borrower is 90 days or more delinquent, unlike in the past where about 30 to 33% of the time they would recover, today there's less than an 8% chance those homeowners will recover without some sort of a modification or some sort of a foreclosure alternative prevention program.
Well, that's great information, and just the numbers are staggering, and it's hard to believe. Chris, based on these numbers and in your professional opinion, when will we get out of this mess? How long do you think it's going to be before we see all of these mortgages, you know, come to some type of conclusion and it begin to normalize the market? In fact, some would argue the market is starting to normalize, but it's only because the banks are really controlling the flow of inventory. What's your comment on that?
Well, you're 100% correct. That is exactly what has happened. The market was manipulated on the way up, and it's being manipulated on the way down. It wasn't in 2008 and 2009, and so they stopped the hemorrhaging. They stopped putting homes on the market because what they were doing, it was chasing to the bottom. Now, some would argue that chasing to the bottom, while it creates carnage, It is the free market that we designed as America's foundation, and that meant the people who didn't take leveraged risks would have been able to pick up the pieces cheap, and we would have rebuilt. We would have had what is known in economic theory a V recovery. Instead, good, bad, or indifferent, one could argue both sides, we propped up the largest institutions and said, we're going to protect you, we're going to bail you out, and now we're going to have what's known as a checkmark recovery, but that checkmark is ever so slight. It's going to go out for a long time. So I don't, you know, obviously nobody has a crystal ball, but I would tell you that most of the experts that I adhere to recognize that we are in a very tenuous situation, and we're kind of bouncing along the bottom, and barring anything that is catastrophic, we'll continue to do so and get through this based on consumer confidence. When people feel good, they'll spend money, and they'll take that will encourage the economy to start really humming. If, however, something were, which is we don't know what's going to happen in Europe. If Greece starts riding and they don't pay back Germany, and Germany starts to have problems because we've got cheap shale gas over here and they're not being able to sell energy for the same cost they used to, does all of a sudden Germany start to have problems? What does that create on a macro level? Nobody knows. But barring something that we don't know, I think we're going to bounce along for another 5-6 years before we really start to take off. Dr. Simon Johnson from MIT, someone who is part of the Congressional Budget Office Committee and a well-respected economist worldwide, he says, you know, we're in a 20-year recovery.
20 years.
Make sure we understand, that doesn't mean doom and gloom for 20 years. It just means that right. It took us a long time to get up to where we are as far as problems, and it's going to take us equally as long or longer to get out of it.
Right.
That doesn't mean buy today, by the way. That just means that you buy for the right reasons, and you don't buy real estate to get rich quick. You buy it for shelter and for a place to call home.
You know, that's really our last talking point, I believe, and we didn't get a chance to cover all of the talking points, but let's talk about that for another minute or two. Is this the right time to buy? That's a question that's being put to real estate professionals by consumers. What should their answer be?
It should be the following. Albert Einstein called compounding interest the eighth wonder of the world for a reason. Rates artificially, they're not supposed to be this low. The only reason they're being this low is because of complete manipulation of a market through the Federal Reserve Bank. And so with rates being this low, it has created the greatest affordability in the history of record keeping. We've never been in a situation where borrowers could buy with as little income based on interest rates. And so what they have to understand is you may, by the time you know that there's recovery going on, it's in your rearview mirror. And so if you wait until everybody around you is really buying, well, now rates have gone up. And if rates have gone up by, say, a couple of points, you just killed for the average homeowner about $40,000 to $50,000 worth of buying power. And so now they're priced out of the market, or they're buying something considerably less than what they could get today. So today is the time to take a risk. Don't be a sheep. Break from the flock. Buy today. Make sure you can afford it. Buy within your means and get in it for the long haul.
Great answer. I love that, Chris. Folks, if you are a real estate professional, you need to take this link, this recorded call here, and send it to your clients and have them listen to a third party, someone who is objective, not involved in the transaction, and to let them know what's going on, how it happened, why it happened, the homeownership bill of rights, and why they should buy right now. Chris Sorensen, you are the man. Director of Help. And we appreciate you coming on The Power Is Now, and we appreciate our audience for tuning in. If you're listening, folks, please go to our Facebook, like on us, connect with me on LinkedIn, go to Blog Talk Radio, grab the embed code, put this on your website. If you have a website and that's totally dedicated to short sales, what have you, what a great call to have on there for your clients to listen to. Or just send out the link to all the customers you're working with, all the homeowners that are in distress that you're working with right now, so they can understand, at least have a better understanding of what's happening. Chris, you've done a phenomenal job today. I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate our friendship, and you are welcome to be on The Power Is Now anytime you want to, man, to let us know about what's happening. In fact, why don't you take a minute and tell us where you're going to be speaking? I know you're flying around the country from time to time, speaking and engaging others, and you're an awesome speaker, so that's why I know you're being called upon. Tell us about any upcoming speaking engagements and also opportunities for agents to work with you and become HELP certified and to be better equipped to deal with their clients.
Well, thank you. The next thing, a week from tomorrow, thank you, I am promoting that I'm going to be on CBS Radio, KFWB, with Bob McCormick. He has a show called Money 101 every day, Monday through Friday from 9 to 11. Rick Sharga, formerly of Realty Track, now with Carrington, is going to be on the show with me, and we're going to be discussing some of the same topics. Also, I'm going to be in Kentucky with Short Sale Association of America. They're putting on a program where they're going to be filming me, talking to realtors in the Kentucky market on December 6th, if anybody is in the area or wants to travel. And as far as our HELP certification, I have not done a class in some time, and quite frankly, I'm very excited that we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but I'm very excited about the short sale leaseback as a foreclosure alternative for the honest homeowner who truly had a one-time hardship. And as soon as I have that completed, meaning we're ready to go, I'm just waiting for the servicers, a couple of big ones, to say, yes, we will, and then I'll be back at you, and I'll be begging for some airtime so we can promote that to realtors to get out there and save some homeowners.
Well, consider it done, Chris. Just let me know when, and we will fit you in right here on The Power Is Now. Well, folks, that's another wrap of The Power Is Now. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you, Chris, again, for coming and sharing this very important information. I want to encourage you all to reach out to your friends and fellow associates and let them know about The Power Is Now online radio. Do you not know that we are really the only game in town as far as online real estate radio, in which we cater 100% to real estate professionals? And it's all about educating, empowering, and inspiring real estate agents on selling homes, building their business, growing their markets, equipping themselves with information and knowledge and tools. That's what this show is all about, and there is no other game in town. 25,000 agents download these podcasts every single month, folks. And so if you're interested in being a sponsor of The Power Is Now, please contact me. It's a great opportunity to get your message, your product, your service out to real estate professionals who are in the game and making things happen. The Power Is Now is dedicated to the support and the development of real estate professionals nationwide, and I'm very, very proud to be the host and the founder of The Power Is Now. 3 years and 2 months, Chris, we've been at this, and it's been a wonderful ride. I'm so blessed to have met so many incredible people that come on this show, that listen to this show, people like yourself who are doing big things and are willing to take time out of their busy schedule to come on and share their knowledge with the real estate community. This show would not be possible without the support of the Power Is Now team, the Adria Davey, relationship manager and screener, Denny D. Grubbs, website and social media manager. Check out our website. Go and become a member of the Power Is Now. It's free. Slav Pekov, sound and music engineer. This is the guy who will take this audio today, Chris, pick it up for us, and put it on the replay so we can have the best presentation available for our real estate professionals, and especially if you're sending it out to your customers or clients. And then, of course, my family, who backed me up as host and also as screeners, Erica and Brianna Fraser Cannon. We appreciate the entire Power Is Now team. This is not a one-man show. Couldn't happen without a team effort. And I know that most of you out there are parts of teams, and so you can relate to what I'm saying. Thank you for being on the show today. Thank you, Chris, again for joining us. Have an awesome day today, folks, and we'll talk to you soon. Again, in fact, next week, right here on The Power Is Now. In fact, I just want to tell you, Juan Martinez, he's going to be joining us next week on The Power Is Now. The number one agent in all of the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals. We're going to be hearing his story, how he made it to the top, and what he's doing to capitalize on the market opportunities in real estate in his area in Nevada. So please tune in next week, same time, and listen to a top agent who's also the president, the national president of NAREP, tell his story right here on The Power Is Now online radio. Have an awesome day, folks. Talk to you soon.